makes you think how you can tell your story, because photos are that story. So we just can't just rely on selfies.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Learn English with Amy, the podcast for intermediate and advanced English learners that helps you listen and learn more. My guest this week is Patricia Pulido, a professional photographer and entrepreneur currently living in Mexico City. My guest was born and raised in Colombia, but she's perfectly fluent in English. She's even okay with being called Patricia Pulido, American style, much to the dismay of her family. In addition to Spanish and English, she also speaks Portuguese, having lived here in Brasilia for several years. Patricia specializes in documentary-style family photography. And being trilingual and international, she works with clients around the globe. And she's just launched her very own online photography course. It's a step-by-step guide for organizing your family photos and videos in a way that is both practical and meaningful. The course is called Your Family Stories, Your Photo Legacy. I will link to it in the episode notes so you can learn more. So the theme of our conversation today features two related ideas. The first is memory keeping, that is the act of preserving or keeping memories. The people who take on this work for their family being what my guest calls the memory keepers. The second is the idea of leaving a legacy. In simple terms, a legacy is a gift passed from one generation to the next. Patricia will talk about how the memories and stories we preserve are the legacy or gifts we give to our families, gifts that can be enjoyed now and forever. Okay, let's get started. Here's me talking to Patricia.
So I am Patricia Pulido in English, Patricia Pulido in Spanish. I've lived many years in the States, so it's very normal for me to say Patricia Pulido, which my family, they when they listen to that, it's funny, but it's of course it's not easier.
And where did you grow up?
So I'm Colombian. I grew up in Bogota all my life until I was 25. Then I've been around the world.
Where did you live when you were in the United States?
So I started in New York City for 8 years. Then I moved to Washington, D.C. Then to Managua, Nicaragua. Then Brasilia. And now I'm in Mexico City. I moved here a year ago.
And you and I met in Brasilia, didn't we?
Exactly.
Both of our families were eating at a pizza place, a very well-known pizza place in Lago Sul, weren't we?
Exactly. Yeah, I recall now. The pizza place was the meeting place. We missed that a lot.
Patricia, tell me, how did you learn English?
Well, I went to a British school in Colombia. So I got English since I was like 5. But my parents, they were very, very keen that we learn fluent English. So they sent us often to summer camps in the U.S.
No way.
So I flew by myself when I was 7.
Oh my goodness.
They sent me away on an airplane by myself and my sister. So I was 7 and she was 11. And we used to go to summer camps in Appalachian Mountains near Virginia. So we used to go there. I think that helped a lot to be fluent in English. I went from 7 till I was like 15 or 16.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I'm very, very thankful for my parents to do that, because of course it was something very different at that time. I mean, nobody was sent to summer camps. I was the only foreigner in the U.S.
What was that experience like? Because you were also with kids from all over the U.S., but mainly the South, right?
Yeah, from all over the U.S. It was very unique because, of course, at that time, I guess in Virginia, you wouldn't meet a lot of international people. So they were asking me a lot of questions like, how come, how's Colombia? Do you have trees? Do you have cats? I guess the 90s, there were not a lot of internet or... but it was fun. I mean, I still have really close friends that we meet on, like I get to see them on Facebook. And those are very, very fond memories that I have, my summer camp days. My parents, they always thought they want to experience other cultures. My parents, they don't speak English. So for them, I mean, they tried. It was very frustrating for them. So I think that's why they made us like, no, they have to really, really speak English. And they made it a priority, really intensify English for us by sending us to summer camps, bilingual schools.
Besides English and, of course, your native Spanish, you also are fluent in Portuguese, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Well, I guess I still call it Portoñol, but I can say I speak it.
Out of curiosity, had you studied it before you moved to Brazil?
Yes, and it was the worst. It was funny because my husband's job, he gets to choose like what countries, and I said to him, I do not want to move to Brazil because my mommy brain can handle a third language. So I was like, I do not want to speak Portuguese. I don't want to learn Portuguese. No, I don't want to do it. And then I tried, I started learning, and it was like, because they say it's similar to Spanish, but it's not. So you get frustrated very easily. And then I made a point, like I started before moving, but then when I got there, I made a point, no, if I'm gonna move to a country, I have to learn the language because I really don't like to depend on people. So that's how I started. Like I really want to learn, I wanted to work. I'm a photographer, so I wanted to work with local people too. I think having local friends is important. So that's why I got to learn.
Did you study at the university here?
I studied private lessons and in like a small group. And then I went to college there. I started doing photography at ESB. And I talked to the dean and I said, like, let me get back here in 6 months when my Portuguese is better. And he said, no, you're starting next month. You just have to go. So I was studying, but I was gonna study photography in Portuguese. So that felt very, very challenging. And I ended up doing that. And it was a bit frustrating for me because I'm very chatty, I'm very opinionated, I like to talk. So, and I couldn't express my hands. But I think that was a very good experience. That's how I got my Brazilian friends. That's how I emerged in language by listening to photography in Portuguese all day.
You, as we say, jumped in at the deep end, right? You went right into the course, and that forced you to learn all that and to engage with people. And like you said, that was your way to make local friends. That's amazing.
No, I at the beginning I didn't want it, but that's how it went, and that's how I kept, and it worked out.
And so when you moved here, the kids were pretty young, and then you, so you had already worked in photography, I think, right?
I was starting to do photography. I started photography 2014 and I moved to Brazil 2015. So I was pretty new, country, a new language, a new profession that I decided to move to. So it was very challenging, but I think it paid off.
So you were working as a photographer here and doing a lot of.
Family events, everything family related.
Tell me about your latest project.
So then, like I said before, on 2014, I started photography, and then I realized my style is very documentary. So I don't do post like go there, pretty scene, or let's go to a park. I do documentary style storytelling sessions. So what I do is that I go to homes, document their routines, make sure that mom is in the picture, the memory keeper is in pictures. So I document the real life. So what's happening, your routines. If you want to go to the pizza place, I'll go with you. So I'll make sure that those memories are preserved. And then in 2017, I realized, okay, the photographer can be following us all year, right? So we need to preserve our memories, the ones that we capture with our own camera, intimate moments. So then I decided to become a photo organizer, and I started making sure memories were preserved, of like getting those photos out of your phone. Photos are meant to be printed. So that's why when I started helping families to create those photo books, to convert the clips into home movies, preserve, make sure those pictures, those videos are not lost because we think they're on the cloud or because we think they're fine in our phones. But I mean, losing photos, it's heartbreaking. I've seen stories that, oh, I thought the external hard drive was fine, but we need to make sure. I mean, external hard drives don't last all our lives. So I decided, I made it a mission that I wanted to help families preserve their photos. And then I did one-on-one sessions helping families with a specific. But then last year, I made it a priority to do a project to teach a course that will help you to have a workflow, what to do with your photos from the moment you take the photo to preservation. And preserve is printing your photos, telling the stories and yearbooks. What's your story? What's your visual story from January to December? And video, for me, it's I just love video. That's why also I offer video in my family sessions. And I want to teach people to save their videos. How can they compile the whole movie so they can have family day nights watching together? So that's why I made it a priority. I love what I do, taking pictures and helping preserve other people's pictures.
How do we check out the course? What is it? It's online now, right?
Yes. So it started this week. It's online. It's a private Facebook. So it's not only a video that you follow, but it's also like a coaching, a group of coaching, because I will be there on a Facebook group answering all your questions. And the way I did the course is by section. It's literally first sections, how you can document better and how to select your favorites, how to create a photo book and what to do with your clips. So it's very specific, I hate wasting time. So it's very specific for people that don't have time, because the reason we don't select our photos is because we don't want to. It's because time, it's not on our hands, right?
Yeah.
It's a time issue. I mean, we all want to preserve our memories, but I made it a priority to really, really work on what can work for us, so people save their time and manage their digital library with 20 minutes a week.
I guess it's a perfect time to be offering things online, isn't it? Given that there's a global pandemic.
Exactly. So then this project I started a year ago, and then when all these crazy things happen, it's like, okay, I'm gonna sit down on my computer and make this happen. So yes, not all things are bad in 2020.
No, it's true, we have to adapt, don't we?
But I also have one-on-one sessions online where I have programs that I go into your computer and I can work your mouse. So I have services that I can help people organize their photos, everything from, I'm in Mexico and people could be anywhere, and I can also help them remotely.
That's fantastic. And I'm guessing that it's overwhelmingly, if not entirely, women who are your audience, right? Or your customers.
Yes, I think, yeah, I don't want to segment, but of course we moms, the women, that's my clients, but I really get excited when a dad gets involved. Oh my God, you're excited. Yes, you're the memory keeper. I call them memory keepers. We are the memory keepers because we are the ones that take the pictures, but we need to make sure we're also in the picture, right?
Exactly. So what is your advice for actually getting the mothers into the photos? Do you have like a time where you actually talk to a husband or the rest of the family and say?
Yes. I think my favorite section, it's called meaningful documentation. And it's a section where I make you think how you can tell your story, because photos are that story. So we just can't just rely on selfies.
Yes.
Selfies are great, selfies are fun, but we just can't rely on selfies. We need to tell the story. We need to make sure we're part of this story. So I have a lot of tips to really do our meaningful documentation on this course. I give a lot of tips. I also have technical tips, because right now our cameras are on our phones and we need to know how our phones work so we don't get frustrated with our photos, and it's easily access. We have access to a camera that can tell a story just by flipping their phones in 1 second. So it's really the technology that we have in our hands is a blessing.
Like you say, for someone who's they are time starved, they don't have enough time, and maybe they're a little bit nervous about the technology, it's great to have, you know, someone like you who has made it all completely practical step by step, and you know, it can reassure them as well as learning how to tell their story. I think it's a real reassurance, yes, isn't it? To know that everything is safe, everything is backed up in 5 ways or whatever your recommendation is. And also to have prints. I mean, I have not printed a photo recently. I don't print nearly as much. I need to, I want to.
Yes, yes. We should make it a habit. We should make it a habit. And like you said, it's practicality. It's not as hard as it looks. If we just dedicate 10 minutes, just separate your favorites so you don't have have to play catch up like for many years. If you start now, if you know exactly what to do, it will save you time.
Yes.
And I always recommend just start with last year to print your photos. Don't start like, oh, okay, I'm going to start now from 20 years ago. No, just do it from 2019 and then go backwards. And then you will realize it's not that hard.
Yeah.
That's what I always tell people. And you, and then as soon as you see your first photo book printed, believe me, you will be motivated. You will have the knowledge to go back and tackle the rest.
What a wonderful thing that you started developing this a year before we find ourselves all stuck at home.
There's no excuses now.
Yeah, well, there's no excuses. Exactly. No, you're absolutely right. You do have what you, I guess you would call a captive audience. The fact that you also speak three languages helps increase your the number of people that you can support.
Oh, definitely. I have a lot of Brazilians. I mean, you know, Brazilians are, they're a huge country. They're everywhere. And I have met a lot of people here. And I already have Brazilian clients here that appreciate that I speak Portuguese. It definitely opens doors.
So definitely check out Patricia and her online course. You can find her on Instagram and Facebook at Patricia Pulido Foto. I will include this in the episode notes. In addition to hearing about her life and work, I wanted to know a little bit more about what Patricia finds confusing or difficult about English, even after all these years of speaking the language. And last but not least, I asked her to share her top tip, her best piece of advice for all you English learners out there.
In English, is there a word or a phrase that you've always found really confusing?
Yes. It took me a while to understand what for good. We are leaving for good. I mean, couldn't understand even when they explained it to me. I was like, but it doesn't make sense. For good? Forever? You mean? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it, but you're leaving, so it's good? No, for me, it's really hard. And now that I was recording my classes, I always confuse, even if I'm fluent in English since I was 5.
Yeah.
The in and on for me. Ah. In and on. Yes. I can see myself when I say it. And then when I hear myself again, oh, what?
Nearly all of my students are intermediate to advanced. And all of them say prepositions. I can't, you know, I need to focus.
On. Oh, okay.
They want to focus on prepositions and then phrasal verbs, which of course can include a preposition. And it's just because there's so many and there's no rules. There's no rules. They don't make sense.
Exactly. It's just, I think, well, now that you said that there are no rules, it's just like by listening, right? So exactly. Even there are no rules. When I hear myself, when I record and then I go back, it's like, oh, what did I say? It's on. It's like when I listen to it, it makes more sense than I was just like writing it or just saying it.
What would be like your top tip for someone who's seriously looking to improve their English?
Watch TV.
Watch TV.
Yes. And I did that. I did that when I was very young. I did that with my kids when they were learning Portuguese. I did that with my kids when they were learning in English. They were very young, 2 and 4. They would complain. But it's like, I said, no, you're watching TV in English. But I don't understand. It was really, really frustrating for them. And I was like, if you're watching TV, you have to. And it's funny because then years later, it's like, oh, mom, TV is in Spanish. And they by themselves, they switch it to English. They might as well learn in English while they're just sitting down doing nothing.
That's great. And so I guess there was no subtitles because they'd be 2 and 4. So they weren't reading subtitles.
Exactly. Yeah, no subtitles. But then the same, when I was learning Portuguese, I would make myself like watch movies in Portuguese with subtitles so I can follow along. But yeah. I think I really like to give that advice because I really think that helped my kids just watch TV. I mean, just.
It's great. And it's certainly something we can all do right now, isn't it? In our free time.
Exactly. Totally.
So that's all for today. I hope you found this conversation useful, interesting, and even inspiring maybe in terms of improving your language skills and for getting serious about preserving your family memories. Be sure to follow and subscribe to this podcast and follow me and hashtag English with Amy on Instagram for nearly daily English tips. Until next time.